The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 27th of January, 2020. On the podcast today, I have Jonathan Tobin, Investment Director at Arix Bioscience. That's A-R-I-X. And Jonathan explains why they co-funded Quench Bio and took part in its $50 million Series A financing round. Also on the podcast, Tim Watts, CFO of Shield Therapeutics, STX ticker there, and Tim provides an update outlining their progress during 2019, which included the FDA approval of their lead product, Feraccru. Plus, as always, two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. You can see both these lists, in fact, top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Tired of using different sites to research companies? Vox Markets aggregates key financial details, pricing data, and company news into one place. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jonathan Tobin, Investment Director at Arix Bioscience. That's A-R-I-X ticker. Jonathan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, listen, you've released a significant RNS today. You've announced an investment into Quench Bio, and we'll dig into that. But before we do, as always, Jonathan, just for people not quite familiar with Arix, could you just give us a background, a summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Arix is a transatlantic biotechnology venture capital firm focused on building and investing in the most promising and high-quality opportunities in the life sciences in North America and Europe. We've so far built a portfolio of 17 companies covering oncology, inflammation, rare diseases, gene therapy, some of the most cutting-edge advances in medical innovation.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, you know, these companies have huge potential, but doesn't come without risk, of course. So take us through Quench Bio and its technology investment there. Take us through what Quench Bio is all about, if you could, Jonathan.
Yes, Quench announced this morning a $50 million Series A fundraise. And we were actually lucky enough to be one of the co-founders of this company. It's actually originated from one of our long-standing academic partner institutions in Germany, which was the lead discovery center, part of the Max Planck Society, which is, you know, one of the largest funders of medical research in Germany. We identified some really exciting but early discoveries there. We built a company around that science with a co-investor called Atlas Venture in Boston, and we created a new company in Boston. We hired in a really phenomenal team of entrepreneurs. We funded the company originally with a seed round to get things going, to start to do experiments. And I'm pleased to say now we've just come out of stealth mode with this $50 million raise. And what the company's doing is that they're actually targeting a completely novel target, a new approach for treating inflammatory diseases. And the target is called Gasdermin-D. It's a relatively new discovery, but it's in an area that the industry is extremely excited about.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, what is, you know, what area is Quench targeting, and what stage are they at right now then?
So in terms of disease focus, it has the potential to be quite broad, but to give the listeners some idea of the sorts of diseases, we're talking about things like lupus, vasculitis, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, the kind of chronic, really debilitating immunological autoimmune diseases for which treatments are pretty limited. The company is at a relatively early stage of its development. We got involved right at the beginning, so it's still preclinical, but we've got a really experienced team from industry who are pushing it forward to get a molecule that we can then test in patients as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I suppose this is an obvious answer, this one, but an obvious simple answer, but so why is Arix invested in Quench?
Yeah, well, the top three reasons to that answer, I guess, people, people, and people, which is a bit of a cliche in our industry, but is true. You know, we invest in people, not science. And, you know, fundamentally with Quench, the two academic professors at the heart of this are some of the most prolific and innovative academic researchers in Europe. And then, you know, they have paired up with some extremely high quality entrepreneurs in Boston, which is really the heart of our industry. So the CEO, Samantha Truex, has had 2 decades in big biotech. She was previously the chief business officer of a company called Padlock Therapeutics that was working in a closely related area, which was acquired by Bristol Myers for several hundred million dollars up front at a preclinical stage. And she really saw in this the opportunity to do something equally exciting and innovative. And she has hired a really outstanding team, including the former senior leader of inflammation research from Pfizer. He joined 18 years at Pfizer and you know, jumped into first small biotech company. And now we've got a team of about 9 people, all super experienced, done this before, that have come together to really try and crack this difficult problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And who are the other investors then, Jonathan?
So the other investors that have got involved, Atlas Venture was the co-founding investor with us, and we really worked together with them to build the company and the team and the strategy right from the get-go, from scratch. And then we have today announced that we've been joined by 2 other really great investors, RA Capital, who are in Boston, several $1 billion under management, one of the really top tier venture capital investors that specializes in biotech with a huge track record of returns for investors. And the other new investor is AbbVie Ventures, which is the venture arm of AbbVie, which is the best pharmaceutical company in this space, in the inflammation area. They market a drug called Humira, which last year made them $20 billion. It's in autoimmune diseases. So they bring the absolutely invaluable insights into immunology and inflammatory biology to this company. So I think we really have a phenomenal mix of financial and strategic investors here. And with the right team and a good amount of funding, I think we've got all the raw materials to make this a success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just looking, you know, at your strategy, how does this sort of align with your sort of investment strategy at Arix?
Yeah, so this is the first company that we've co-founded and built from scratch, and we're very proud that it's such a high quality one, and it really signals a higher focus from us in company creation. We've really managed to leverage our transatlantic footprint here, taking science from Europe, from Germany, where we now have a team member based in Germany, and combining that with some of the best innovators in Boston. And it's quite rare to be able to do that. And I think we're starting to exemplify the ability to do that. We're really investing in groundbreaking, novel, first-in-class science, which is central to our strategy. And by going in right at the beginning, it enables us to have high ownership for relatively efficient capital deployment, and also quite a high level of influence on the board.
Marvellous stuff. And what will the proceeds be used for then, Jonathan?
So the strategy of this round is really to nominate a development candidate, which means to select a molecule. This is going to be a pill that the patient can take once a day, which can then be scaled up for clinical trials. So at the moment, for the next year or two, it's a very busy process of designing small molecule drugs, testing them in cells and then in animal models, refining it and selecting the best strategy to develop the compound in patients.
All the stuff. Okay, and finally, Jonathan, as always, 3 reasons if someone is listening right now and likes the sound of the progress you're making in Arix but are not yet following the story, if you could give them three quick reasons in summary why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, biotech is really in its golden age. It's a huge growth opportunity at the moment with all of the breakthroughs in research and the number of high-quality entrepreneurs that are excited about taking those products into patients and potentially curing diseases. The second thing is that we have a very entrepreneurial but focused team based in New York, London, and Germany, which is uniquely positioned to really identify the best opportunities with the highest quality networks. And thirdly, our unique model of being publicly listed gives retail or generalist investors access to those innovations which are otherwise inaccessible. And as part of our shareholder base, quite uniquely, we have four large pharmaceutical companies which give us strategic insights and access to networks which other companies don't have access to.
Marvellous stuff. Jonathan, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tim Watts, Chief Financial Officer of Shield Therapeutics. That's STX ticker. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Justin. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, now you've just released a business and trading update, and we'll dig into the detail in a bit. Before we do, as always, Tim, if someone's listening right now and not quite familiar with Shield Therapeutics, can you just summarise the business, please?
Yeah. Shield is a small pharmaceutical company. We have developed a novel oral drug for the treatment of iron deficiency. Iron deficiency is very common and crops up in many disease areas, so it gives us a large market. The drug is approved in both Europe and the United States, and the United States most recently, the approval came through last July. And it's been approved with a broad label, that is for the treatment of iron deficiency in adults. Mm-hmm. The drug is called Ferroccru in Europe. Its trademark is Accrufer in the United States.
Yeah.
In Europe, we've licensed it for commercialization to a company called Norgine. They've been promoting it essentially throughout 2019. The product had been launched by us in 2016, but the company didn't have a huge amount of cash, wasn't able to really promote it effectively, and so we licensed it to Norgine in the end of 2018. We have recently, in January of 2020, licensed the product to a Chinese company, ASK, for the final stages of development and approval in China and then subsequent commercialization. And we're currently in a process in the United States to appoint a commercial partner there.
Excellent stuff. And so you've released operational highlights and financial highlights for 2019 and also post-period highlights, which I suppose, you know, are always, I think, more important, more telling, because we're, you know, the pre-stuff is looking back and it's historical. And of course, shares are all about what's going forward and what's happening there. So we'll break it down into two bits. So just take us through that, the operational highlights and financial highlights, if you could, for 2019, if you could, Tim.
Yes, so the trading update didn't really contain any surprises. It really deals with the half year since our interims results in August. But we've reminded people that the FDA approved Accrufer for marketing in the USA. That came in late July of 2019. We also reiterated the communication that we did a head-to-head study where we compared the drug against one of our intravenous competitors and showed that Ferroccru or Accrufer is non-inferior to the intravenous treatment. And we'd already announced that during 2019. So it was a reminder of that included in the trading statement. We also announced the financial results. Or at least the headline revenues. These are unaudited at this point in time, but revenues in 2019 amounted to £2.9 million, of which £2.3 came through a couple of milestone payments that we got, and the remaining £0.6 is sales-related revenues from our Norgine partner in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go on.
And I'll finish with the financial piece. We had a cash position of 4.1 million at the end of December, but that, of course, has been bolstered by $11.4 million, which was the upfront payment that we received from ASK when we did the deal with them in January of this year. So that has obviously extended our cash runway into 2021.
Yeah, and it's multiples of the revenue in 2019. So looking forward then, obviously the Chinese deal is happening, and what else should shareholders look forward to in the next sort of 6-12 months then, Tim?
The main thing that they should look forward to is a deal in the US where we find a partner that we want to use to sell our product in the United States. That will undoubtedly be the main event for 2020. But in addition, we should see further progress towards the end of 2020 from Norgine in Europe, where they currently are submitting to the authorities in a number of the countries in Europe pricing and reimbursement applications. And we hope that by the end of 2020 or early into 2021, they will be getting approval for those, so that the number of markets in which we can sell in Europe extends beyond, currently it's just the UK and Germany and one or two small markets. And we're really keen to get into France, Italy, Spain, which are the other big markets in Europe. So that will be another development, I think, towards the end of the year.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see now you are in, you know, the major markets of the world, Europe, you know, America, China is the biggest market in Asia. So, and are you looking for further markets in Asia and in maybe in the Middle East and all over the place there?
We will be. We're clearly prioritizing the US as the deal we want to do next. Mm-hmm. But there are, you know, are approached from time to time by potential partners in other regions who we are certainly building up relationships with, if not necessarily prioritizing. Mm-hmm. If I can just add on China, there is almost certainly a need for another clinical study, which ASK will design and negotiate approval for that study with the Chinese authorities. We don't quite know what that study will look like yet, but we can envisage that it might take a couple of years to design and conduct. And then there's the approval process to go through in China. So we think it could be 2 to 3 years before the product is actually marketed in China. But the fact that we have a very good, very well-rated partner now in China offers the very real potential that within 2 to 3 years, the product is on the market there. And of course, it is an absolutely massive, massive market with something in the region of 1.4 billion people living in China.
Yeah, I think it's 1.5 in the last. It's going up very quickly. Cool, excellent stuff. Okay, Tim, well, if someone likes the sound of the progress you're making there at Shield Therapeutics but are not yet following the story, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please?
Yes, I think from an investment point of view, I think we would argue that the deals we've already done in Europe where the product is approved, in China where we have a partner and there is a very good prospect that in due course the product will be approved, those deals alone probably underpin our market value at the moment. Mm-hmm. So then secondly, if you then say, well, there will be a US deal sometime during the course of 2020, then I guess the third message I would give is we believe there is significant upside on the share price when you look at the underpinning from Europe and China, the add-on from the US. You know, we think there's lots of upside in the share price at the moment.
Marvelous stuff, Tim. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Velocys. A PLC, VLS, ticker there. It's up 3.4%, 2.9 pence. At four, GCM Resources, flat at 12 pence. At three, Cadence Minerals, flat 6.65 pence. At two, Boohoo. That's the company, not me crying there. And it's ticker Boo, of course, down 1.76% to 3.08 pence. And number one most followed company is Jersey Oil and Gas, Joggers ticker, down 7.6% to 127. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At, what is it, five, Shield Therapeutics. I spoke to Tim on the podcast, of course. At four, Codal Minerals, a mining license application lodged at Bogoni. At three, Columbus Energy Resources Operational Update, Trinity Innes. At two, Block Energy Operations Update. Hoping to get Paul on the podcast actually soon, because he hasn't been on for a while. And number one, most liked RNS is Argo Blockchain, board appointment, and new machine installs. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.